Imagine how Don Flesh feels. So this is that conversation we had just before. We came into the studio today. He wasn't able to join us live. But this is Don Flesh. You've heard of Central Camera, that store at 230 South Wabash Avenue that Saturday night was destroyed and then set afire. That store is over 100 years old. It goes back to the 1880s, and it has been in that location since 1929, always in his family's name. So I asked him to tell me about what that night was and what today is like.
I live in Skokie, about 17 miles away. The roads were blocked, and I ended up about three blocks away, towards walking up Jackson, as our store is north of Jackson on Wabash on the west side of the street. Don, there's that song, you know, Saturday night is the loneliest night of the week.
So what did you see when you got there then?
Well, there were thousands of people walking up and down the street. The first group I bumped into, though, was a group of policemen standing in their blue shirts. No one said anything there, and I just kept walking. When I got to the corner of Wabash and Jackson, what did I do? I had taken an umbrella with me. I thought I'd have something to defend myself or something for the opposite, but I'm not that personality, but I just thought to have something in my hands besides my fist. And I went across the street from the store at that point because I saw that our gates were ripped open and people were just coming in and coming out.
So you're standing on the other side of the street. You've arrived upon your store.
Right.
And in fact, it is being looted even as you stand there. What did you intervene?
I didn't intervene. I didn't scream out. I didn't say anything. And all I felt is, hey, that's the place I've had my first and only job. First and only job. That's all I thought about, in a sense. There's nothing I could do and nothing to do to change it, except not let it change me. And when people ask me how old I am, I tell them I'm halfway to 144. So I've worked there for a long time, and I watched. And at one point there was, if 100 people walked past, maybe 80 went in. As they walked past and came out with things. And
you didn't shout out? You didn't say, hey, that's my store, that you stopped stealing from me?
It wouldn't have done us good, and wouldn't have done me any good.
Were there any police there to assist you?
No, sir. No, sir. There were no police except for the ones that I had passed. These people got ahead of them. There were so many thousands of people downtown doing what they were doing, breaking windows. And, whatever. To me, they were dishonoring what the whole thing had started about, which was the death of this young man, and for no reason.
You haven't said anything about the police other than that you went by them. Are you angry that they didn't help defend
your... I'm not angry at anybody. I don't want yesterday to move into today and cause me... I want to live today for today. Yesterday's over with. The police did what they could or couldn't. What I thought of this morning, just moments before you called, I said, where are our sensitive leaders? The people who can cause the rebound of our action, of our thought, to try and rebalance the direction. So here was a group of thousands of people who were being led, and that's what happens. People tell misguided truths and cause people to change, and they repeat and they repeat and repeat. But we didn't have repeaters on the other side. At least I haven't heard any.
Can you talk to me a little bit about what was inside the store and what some of your either memories are? Our Bob Surratt described it as not just a store, but kind of a little archive of cameras
Chicago. It's a historical museum of photography. I was able to save the first camera that Grandpa sold, that he sold to a father and a son when he was setting up his business at 31 East Adams, and they knocked on the door. How did they know who he was? Because in those days, the proprietor put his name, Albert Flesh, proprietor. So they got in, and Grandpa let them in, and they bought a camera. And 35, 37 years later, my father and uncle receive a box to the store. Attention, owner or owners. The box wasn't saved, but inside was that first camera, and it was sent by the son they sent back a camera and film and thank yous. And
why did they send the camera back? Just as a thank you?
As a thank you, yeah.
Were there then photographs that perished? And there was a fire at your place as well.
Yeah, they set the fire probably around 10:20. So the fire department, after I called them, as soon as I saw some smoke, I couldn't get through on 911, and I called again and finally got through. And they came quick. They were quick. 8-10 trucks. I think 5-6 right away, another 8-9 tech. There must have been 100 and something firemen really, really doing a terrific situation, and really good chiefs and organization down the line who did this, and they knew what was going on and what to do. And sooner or later, they had broken through the doors and moved them away, and three guys laid on their stomachs, all holding a hose, pointing through the doorway, and swinging the hoses a little bit, 5 degrees to the left and coming back to center, and 5 degrees to the right. And they pumped water into the store because they don't know where the fire is. They pumped water in the store for 3.5 to 4 hours. And I was able to save. My first thing I looked for was our old phone books as they go back to the 20s. After I took over in, say, the 70s, I put little notes inside. How do I feel about the company? And it's usually all positive things. It's negative things get you where? Nowhere.
Yeah.
But upstairs today, if I get a chance to get in, which I'm going to almost demand if I can in a soft way, I don't know, early pictures of my dad and uncle and the family. And there's a picture that I got on a trade-in, and it's a picnic at Humboldt Park in about 1903, 1904. It's horizontal, stands up about 12 inches. It's got to be about 3 feet long. And it's a group of people sitting and having their portrait done with a special camera that you don't look straight ahead. You start it at the left, and after you've cocked it, because it's got a mechanism, it sweeps to the right. So it's that kind of a camera where somebody could start at the left, a person in the picture, and then run behind the group and then be there on the right when the camera got there. And they'd be in both sides of the picture. Wonderful. There's women in beautiful dresses like they're going to a wedding. However, there's no one except white people. Why? In 1902, Grandpa hires the first in the area, maybe the first in the loop, I don't know, but the first non-white person to sell behind the counter. George, he's 6'6", 6'7". Well, people would come up to him or, you know, walk in and they'd come up to Grandpa, and I'd like to get some help and buy something, you know. Grandpa said, you've come to the right place. I'm making some of this up, but that's what I feel. But some of it was in the diary.
George is a person of color who was working behind the counter, and that might have been then the first time some people in the loop encountered, as you say, a black clerk at the store.
But I mean, I remember an incident of, hey, I'd rather have you take care of me, Mr. Flesh. And my grandpa said something like, George is our salesman. He can do it better than I. He does it every day. If you don't want George, there are plenty of other places to go. Wow.
Well, then, do you reflect at all on the irony of what's happened to your store this weekend?
No, I don't have that as an adjective in my life, irony, so I really don't. What happened, happened. I don't want it to move forward. I'm just going to keep building and rebuilding. And where are my thoughts on today and tomorrow? Because the business is not me. It's the people who work there, who help the people.
I've never been more anxious to buy a camera, Don. So let the world know when you're open, and we'll see you soon.
Thank you very much. Okay. You're a nice man. Yeah. Thank you for leading, and we got to find some more leaders, okay?
Okay, you take care now.
Yeah, you too, sir.
Had that conversation with Don Flesh about 7:30 this morning. He almost certainly is at that camera store cleaning it up. He's going to reopen his business. There's a GoFundMe page that has about $135,000 in it. He does have some insurance that will help. His building or business is so completely ruined, he thinks he might be able to move into the adjacent business. There's some space there, and he plans on reopening his shop. He says when he does, hopefully this year, there will be chocolate, and he wants to continue to talk to people and teach people and sell some cameras. I don't know if we had that in the conversation that you just heard. We interviewed him for about 20 minutes. You heard nine. But he said that at one point there was about 4,000 camera shops in, what was the geography of that? And now there's about 100 camera shops. There just aren't many camera shops anymore. There will still be his central camera. And thank you, Don Flesh.